This is Free America broadcasting on the Rod Echols Show with a message to all patriots trapped behind the lines in California, New York, Boston, and Chicago. Don't give up, true lovers of America. Even as we speak, moves are being made to drive the invaders back to the land from which they came. Defeat the would-be dictators and lift the chains of tyranny from around your neck. Stay strong. Stay brave. You're not forgotten, and you're not alone. Until next time, patriots, this is Free America signing out.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Ecclesiastites all around the globe. Yes, it is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live back in the Bunkerize studio, located somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. Here it is on Monday, September number 17, the year of our Lord 2018, as we pass by the halfway mark of the month of September already. Over the weekend, heading into the official beginning of autumn. Later this week, right? 21st? Is it September 20? I have to look at the calendar like most people because I get them mixed up. Spring begins on the 22nd of March or is it the 21st? Summer begins on the 21st of June. So winter is the 20th or is it the 21st? Well, but anyway, they keep moving the days around on me. So I know they're not actually moving the days, but they're not consistent. It should be like the 21st of every one of those quarter months, where the seasons change, but it doesn't. It shifts from like the 20th to the 22nd. So I think it's the 21st this year is September is the beginning of. Is the beginning of autumn. We have the autumnal equinox, otherwise known as fall. Yes, indeed, it is Monday morning. It is somewhat cloudy here and foggy, heavy fog, but it is still a bright, sunny Monday. Because, well, it's for some people down there in the Carolinas, it's not so sunny. I get it. It's a mess, and it's going to take them a while to recover. Because, well, first of all, they have to let the waters recede. Now, what I'm getting from going on down there, the reports that I've seen, is it's looting galore. I have people no shame. Well, obviously not. Whatever happened to decency? I'm not even talking common sense, but just plain decency. You know, you always have, whenever you have any sort of natural disaster like this, you're always going to have thieves who take advantage and become looters. But then you have the average person. Who normally wouldn't steal anything. But all of a sudden, natural disaster or some event takes place where it makes it very lucrative or easy for them to take stuff. Now, understand, a lot of this non-waterlogged loot that these people are stealing, it's going to end up on eBay. Yeah, you know it is. There's a new outlet for looted goods, for stolen goods. Now, this is a problem because you don't have to prove you own something. You know, you take stuff to a pawn shop and, you know, they want your ID and all that kind of stuff to try to, you know, prove that maybe you are the owner. And, and to cover their, you know, the pawn shop owner's ass in case the stuff turns up to be stolen and, you know, the cops trace it to the pawn shop and the pawn shop, well, you know, he came in with his ID and they can at least give the cops a lead on to who brought it in, who could have possibly have stolen it. So, you know, and they still, you know, lowly thieves still fence stuff through pawn shops. Make no mistake about it. And pawn shop owners know this. But when it comes to eBay, it's a different story. A completely different story. You don't, what's eBay going to do? Say, well, you got to prove you own something before you can sell it? Well, no. It would be a little bit more difficult to utilize Craigslist because after all, everybody's, you know, too busy trying to clean up after the aftermath, so they're not going to be paying attention to a local Craigslist ad. But throwing it on eBay is a different story, especially if it's, you know, fairly small. Now, if you're going to try to, it might be a little bit more difficult to try to fence, you know, big screen TVs on eBay that you've pilfered. But a lot of the smaller or boxable stuff, you know, you can just send through regular mail or postal service or UPS or FedEx. I don't think you can send a big screen 80-inch screen TV through FedEx, but you might have to use a trucking company for that. But other stuff, you know, possibly even like a microwave, you know, the small microwave, you could send those through, sell those on eBay and send those through Postal Service and FedEx and UPS. It's well within their limits. So it's small electronic stuff, computers. Yeah, you can send that stuff. That's not too big. So a lot of what you're going to see is a lot of this stuff ending up on eBay. That's not going to all appear at once because most looters, believe it or not, are not really all that stupid. I mean, yeah, well, because most looters don't get caught. Well, you might be thinking, well, it's because the police are too busy, police are too busy trying to help those in need. Well, no, that's really not the case. Yeah, the cops are very busy taking care of their own families, of course, and serving the public. You know, rescuing people. This is another reason why people should pay attention to evacuation suggestions and orders, because you put first responders at risk, for one. And two, they can't be out there keeping property safe, you know, against looters. But there's this whole looting thing that really bugs me. Now, again, we've always had people, you know, going back through history, whenever there was an opportunity for a small percentage of the public to take advantage of a disaster. You know, that's always been the case. This is not a new phenomenon. However, it is becoming a major problem. It's one of the top things that every time we have one of these types of storms coming across, at least in this country, one of the top stories is how they're going to prevent looting. And there are stories about, you know, to tell store owners how to, you know, become looter resistant, not looter proof, but looter resistant. You know, but what you can do to protect your belongings. And the same thing for regular people because people don't think about this. All they do is they think, well, the door is locked, so, and the windows are closed, so let's go. No, you need to really, if you're evacuating, now this may come a little bit too late, but at least you'll know it for next time. If you're evacuating for a reason, now you usually now evacuation notices are given pretty well in advance. So if you are being evacuated or if you are going to evacuate and it's not, you know, you don't have 24 hours or less, you have time to loot, resist your property. And that simply means you need to put all, you know, the stuff that's important or is expensive to you, you need to lock it away. And you need to make sure that your windows are not open. And what I mean by open, you know, close the curtains and blinds. Because if one thing the looter is going to do is he's going to try to look in your windows at first to see if they can see anything to take. Because, you know, they got to move fast. One, they've got to beat the storm, too. And two, they don't want to be, you know, caught looking around everywhere. They need to get in and get out. So you need to gather all your stuff and you don't want to put it in the basement, I suppose, but because that'll flood. If you live on high ground, then you could put it in the basement. But you'll need to find a room that's high. Well, first of all, you're going to want to get that stuff out of the potential flood zone. So first floor is always potential flood zone. So you need to get it upstairs, and you need to put it, you know, shove it in a closet that you can lock. If you don't have a closet that locks, then it doesn't cost much to go to Home Depot and get a doorknob with a lock. Again, this is not loot proof, but it's loot resistant. Because if they do break in and they see all your stuff is gone, they think, well, maybe somebody's already been here. And they'll leave. They don't have time to be rummaging through your house. They need to get the stuff that they came for and to get in and get out. Now, of course, you might have some looters that are a little bit more adventurous and take their time. They're a little bit more thrill-taking and risk-taking. So they might, you know, rummage through your entire house. But most of your big valuables, you know, your computer, your TVs, your, you know, any electronics, your jewelry, if it's worth anything, put it all in a locked closet upstairs. And then evacuate. I know some people will say, well, we don't have time. No, BS. You do. Because what are they, you know, they were a week out, they were telling people that they were going to have to evacuate. That's plenty of time for you to move your stuff upstairs. You know, it might take you an hour to move all your stuff upstairs. But looters, there it seems to be an increasing problem. Now, what is the whole gist of stealing from somebody? Well, you've got something I want, so I should be able to take it because you should be able to share. Think of looting as extraordinary or, you know, taxes. It's taxes. When you overtax people, that's what it is. It's like a form of looting. And the problem with people all of a sudden thinking that it is, by the way, is I know that there are some white supremacists out there that always think that it's a bunch of black people running around looting. No, it's not. Now, I know that there were these pictures and images like a few years ago with the Baltimore riots. It was a bunch of black people. But that's not always the case when it comes to looting. There's a lot of so-called white people doing the looting, too. And Latinos. By the way, I learned over the weekend you don't call them Chicanos anymore. No, they don't like it. It used to be called Chicanos. Well, it's just like blacks. You don't call them Negroes anymore. You know, blacks don't particularly like being called Negro. I don't know why. It's just stupid. Well, you know somebody who's older when they say Chicano instead of Latino. Because it's an older person. That's how they grew up. That's what they know. But when it comes to looting, it's like taxes because, and this is the problem, it is a form of, shall we say, forbearance on our political style in this country. Because if you have something, if you earn something, and you own it, you have it, and somebody says, well, I want it, I want what you got. Well, what do they do? They seem to think it's okay to take it from you instead of go out and work for it themselves. And folks, this is what democratic socialism is. These people, we're getting some of these people they're being elected in primaries. And the sad part is that if anybody actually put up a fight against them, they wouldn't win. But they're kind of being handed these positions. And this is, you know, we've got a couple of cases, especially in New York, where we've got these socialist Democrats, socialists, however they want to call themselves. And they're young, late 20s, early 30s, millennials. And they're taking seats that are basically not being contested. They're not really, the Democrat who holds the seat isn't really putting up a fight, or they're retiring, and nobody else is taking the seat. And the Republicans aren't putting up a fight at all sometimes. And sometimes the seat is really totally and completely uncontested. In other words, if you're a Democrat and you get all all your necessary requirements and ducks in a row, all you need is one vote. Really, one vote is all it's going to take for you to win the primary, and then one vote is all it's going to take for you to win the election, because there is nobody opposing you. But in some cases, you know, like Beto O'Rourke or O'Malley, or was it O'Rourke or O'Malley? I don't know. He's not an Irishman by any standard. But in Texas, I mean, this guy's, has he actually come out and said he's a democratic socialist? Well, I don't care if he actually says it or not. He is one. Maxine Waters is a Democrat socialist. She's admitted it before. You know, this socialist, this Democrat will be all about taking over your companies. Because she saw what Hugo Chavez did down in Venezuela. By the way, Venezuela. Oh, my goodness. Anybody see what happens in Venezuela over the week? At least 40% of businesses have closed after the government has instituted, a 3,000% increase in the minimum wage. They just, nobody's buying anything anyway, so we're just, because nobody's got a job, so we're just going to have to shut down. So there goes all their businesses. Small businesses, bye-bye. Venezuela, food shortages, toilet paper shortages, job shortages, money shortages, and Maduro still living high on the hog. But that's socialism for you. But we have this notion that if you have something, I should be able to have it too, and even if I have to take it from you. Forget the fact that you worked. Nobody thinks about the fact that you had to work hard for it. Nobody thinks that, you know, maybe you did go out and buy, you know, that. Well, let's look at something that can be easily carried. You went out and bought that new computer. You know, it's a laptop. So, maybe it's a really fast screaming, you know, gaming type of laptop. Cost $1,200. It took you a year to save the money because you set aside $100 a month because you got a part-time job, and that part-time job, you know, it worked enough hours where you cleared $100 a month after you pay the government their fair share of your earnings for 12 months, whole year. And for Christmas, you bought yourself that laptop with your own money. And somebody comes along and says, hey, I want that. You say, well, fine, go get your own. And they say, no, I'm taking yours. Well, you'd be like, the hell you are. Do you know I spent a whole year working to get this thing? They say, I don't care. You have it. I want it. I should be able to have it. But then I won't have it. Well, you can go get another one. Why don't you go and work for a year? No, because you already did. That's democratic socialism. They want to take what doesn't belong to them simply because you have it, simply because you worked for it, and it's not fair. And in order for it to be fair, you've got to be able to take it from them. Well, we have a rise in that type of mentality in this country. So, yeah, democratic socialism is on the rise here in the United States. It's a sad but honest truth. You need to understand that. It is a sad but honest truth. We have a rise in people believing that what's yours should be theirs. And again, you know, when we have natural disasters is when we see a lot of this stuff come to the fore. But when you have a number of people who now all of a sudden think, you know what, why not? You know, they're rich, and you're probably far from rich. I I've had stuff stolen from me. I remember having my, funny as hell every time I think about it, having a radio in my car stolen, my car radio. And this is before, you had CDs. It was still a tape player. But problem was, it was an AM/FM tape deck. Problem was, is somebody stole it, thinking that they'd be able to utilize it or probably sell it. The radio was broken. I mean, the tape deck didn't work. And half the time, if you wanted to go from FM to AM, half the time you had to keep pressing the AM button for it to actually switch over to AM. So somebody stole something that was broken anyway. And it was just funny that somebody would take it. I had a boombox. You know, I did. I put the boombox in the in my car in the back seat. Yeah, let me tell you, that boombox sounded better than the car stereo system. It had cheap chintzy speakers, had no bass. I put the boombox in the only problem with the boombox is I couldn't, you couldn't easily change the channel because you got to turn around and reach in the back seat. But it was a very small car, Hyundai XL type of thing. So it was easy. So every time, if you'd stop at a stoplight, I could do it or put in a mixtape. Yeah, mixtape. That's where it makes the sound. Literally. Mixtape meant mixtape. It was a cassette, your own recording. But yeah, so I would drive around listening to Rush on the boombox. Noon to three, traveling salesman, if that's what you want to call him. I was on the road a lot. So I had the boombox because I wanted to listen to Rush. And then after Rush was done, there was really nobody else on the air at the time. It was before Hannity. I don't know who came on after Rush. I didn't really pay attention. I think Jerry Williams was on before Rush. And then there was Tom Likas. But in any case, before that. So there was no Glenn Beck either at the time. But yeah, they stole my car radio. And the radio didn't. So the joke was on them. It didn't really work very well. Well, weren't you afraid somebody's going to steal your boombox? Well, no, every time I got out of the car and I'd make sure it locked it. But yeah, I took an extra step. I put the boombox in the trunk so you couldn't see it. Well, I wasn't going to have, somebody break my windows and take my box. But this is Boston, a la 1990s. But this is what people are thinking, that you have something. Now, I'm sure that somebody would have saw the boombox, and, it wasn't all that expensive, but I worked and saved in order to buy that thing and pay for it. Wasn't going to have somebody else just take it from me. But somebody else would see it and say, look, they can get another one. If they can get this one, they can get another one. That may not be the case. It may have taken a lot of work just to get that. But people don't care about that. All they see is, well, you have it, I want it, you can get another one. It's just like, look, stealing something is just like having somebody buy you it in the first place. That's exactly what it's like. Stealing something is just like having, you know, you steal a computer. It's like somebody buying you the computer or being forced to buy you the computer through government fiat or taxation. That's what it, but there seems to be this rise in acceptability of it with a greater participation of people doing it. So is there any wonder there is an acceptance of, there seems to be a growing acceptance of this whole notion of democratic socialism? It's been on the rise for years in this country. Because it's the mentality of what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. Did people hear also this, that Jim Carrey said that America needs to accept socialism? Now, if I'm not mistaken, Jim Carrey's actually Canadian. Now, frankly, unless you become a naturalized American U.S. citizen, you need to shut the hell up or go back to Canada. As a matter of fact, anybody who is not a citizen in this country, when it comes to politics, should shut the hell up. Now, the problem is that many people don't know that a lot of Hollywood stars are Canadian. Hey, I hate to burst your bubble. Ryan Reynolds is Canadian. He's from, now I haven't heard him spout about any politics, but he's from Toronto, born and raised. It's not the USA. He is, where are we going on this one? I hear something in my ear. Yeah, you got to love technology. In any case, what you've got to understand is that people are making these suggestions and these accusations about things. And they're not even citizens. They're telling us we need to accept something that we should not accept simply because of the way our system is set up. We have a rise in the number of people who actually believe that it's a good idea, in spite of what's happening in certain countries that espouse socialism, but they still think it's a good idea here. And you logically wonder, do they want that type of downfall or destruction in our own country? Well, you would have to come to the logical conclusion that, yes, that's exactly what they want. They want what's happening in Venezuela to happen here. Now you could say, honestly, well, nobody wants people to starve or not be able to buy toilet paper. But that's exactly what they're going to get. And they don't bother to learn anything else. They could care less. They could really care less. This is what they want. This is why it is so dangerous. Because it's all about me, 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 me. You think that the baby boomers were the me generation. You should take a look at the millennials. It's really about me. It's about me so bad with millennials that they don't even want to have kids. There's a rise in couples in the millennial generation that don't want to have kids. Why? Because it's all about them. They don't want to have to share their life and their money with their children. It's all about them. You know, you've got something. I want it because I don't have it now. And I don't want to wait. You know, they stayed in their parents' house for too long because the parents probably had the big, you know, 4-bedroom, 2.5 bath, 2.5 car garage. And that's, you know, the 2,500 square feet. That's what they wanted for their first house. No, they didn't want the small, you know, starter house for that has 1,200 square feet with only 3 bedrooms and 1 bath. Hell no, that's not what they grew up in. They want what mommy and daddy had, or they want what mommy or daddy had. A lot of them grew up in broken homes. You know, mom moved out or dad moved out, and dad lives in another house, and mom has a house, and they had 2 houses to go to. And they look, both my parents had 2,500 square feet. I want the same damn thing for my first house. So how are they going to get it? By taking it from people who are working, because they don't want to work for it. They don't want to wait. It's called delayed gratification. They don't want delayed gratification. Not at all. In any event, folks, it is here on Monday, and we're going to be covering all this kind of stuff. The Kavanaugh, Kavanaugh accuser. We're going to talk about that. Something from the Dalai Lama. You know, you're not going to. Well, I've never liked the Dalai Lama. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. You know, I've always said that the eyes are the window to the soul, and I've been able to read extremely accurately by looking in people's eyes of what their character is like. And when I've looked into the, now not personally, I've never met the man personally up front, but whenever I've had the chance, you know, the camera looks into his eyes, whenever I see his, all I see is evil behind there. I really do. And he hasn't done, well, at least I don't think he's done anything that know of anything that evil-ish that he's done, except maybe now. We'll get into some of that from the Dalai Lama. Maxine Waters, you won't believe what they've done for Maxine Waters. And we'll get into the Kerry Trump thing and a whole lot more, so stay tuned. Plus, maybe we'll take some of your calls if you decide to call in at 603-499-7325. Again, the Hot Rod line is 603-499-7325. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show, the coolest, most politically incorrect, conservative black man on the planet.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just $1 a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Coming back to you live here on the Rod Eccles Show. It is Hot Rod line number is 603. It is toll free, by the way, 603. But what is it? 603-499-7325. Oop, almost had a little brain fart there on the air. Yeah, nothing like live radio. So when something comes to you and then escapes your brain and then it comes right back. I don't know how that works. But yeah, 603-499-7325. In any case, it is Monday here. There is this whole, folks, when it comes to this Brett Kavanaugh thing, let's everybody settle down for a second and calm down and think this through. Now, the exact thing that I said was going to happen is on the cusp of happening. The Democrats are trying to delay, because if you delay this guy's hearing, the more chance they have of flipping some yes votes to no votes. So this whole thing about Tom, let's remember this. How old is, what? This happened some 35 plus years ago in high school. When the accuser and the accused were teenagers. Now, note, there is nobody else coming forward. There is nobody saying, well, Kavanaugh did this in his 20s and his 30s, and he's still doing. Nobody. There is one anonymous accuser from 35 years ago. He tried to rape me, and I thought he would this is what she said. I thought he would inadvertently kill me. Not that that's what was on his mind. Not that he was going to strangle her. Not that he was going to act like, you know, many rapists act. He wasn't all that. In fact, I guess he was, you know, according to some of the stuff that I've read about this accusation, he might inadvertently kill her without leaving a mark on it. Evidently, he didn't leave any bruises or marks on her. So I don't know how you do that. There was nothing visible on her. So, you know, it was whatever he was trying to do, if he actually tried to do it, was easily hidden. Now, I don't know many 17-year-olds who were smart enough to try to rape somebody without leaving a mark. Not to mention, unless they're on the football team or the wrestling team and they're out there, you know, lifting, pounding the weights. Believe it or not, 17-year-old boys really aren't all that strong. They haven't reached their full physical maturity yet. So they're not, yeah, sure, they're stronger than girls, but they're really not that strong. Now, this is true of, well, I know if you go back in time a little bit, if you go back to like the 30s and 40s, you know, if you ever look, at your parents or grandparents' yearbook photos, I mean, you got a bunch of 16-year-olds that look like they're 30. I know it was the style of how they wore their hair and how they dress and things, and those black and white pictures, it can add age, but they just look old. They looked old in high school. But in any case, if you go back to your own, now back in my days, you know, I was a skinny twerp. I played when I was a freshman in high school. I was all of, you know, maybe about 120. And when I graduated, I wasn't north of 150. I was probably, you know, 5'9", 140, 145 pounds maybe if I was lucky. It's not a whole lot of weight behind you. So this is what Kavanaugh was probably, and he's not a big guy. You know, he doesn't have big bone structure. He doesn't have large muscular structure. So, you know, he was probably the equivalent of a nerd. Maybe even a dork. He was not a big guy. I'm not saying that that's what his personality was, that he was a total outcast or dork. But, you know, that size. Now I don't know what the size of the woman is. Has anybody seen a picture of her? She still hasn't come. She's still anonymous, right? Evidently, she's also taken a polygraph test and passed it. You know, the whole lie detector test thing, folks, there's a reason why that stuff is not admissible in court. It's not accurate. In fact, it is so inaccurate as that they won't allow it in court. If you fail, can't be entered in court. If you pass it, can't be entered in court. And there are a lot of, you know, legal people, you know, law enforcement people who don't, you know, somebody says, well, I'll take a lie detector test. I'll say, so what? There's a lot of, yeah, there are a lot of people in law enforcement that believe in lie detector. I mean, they use it in our intelligence agencies like the CIA, NSA, FBI. But those lie detector tests go far beyond what most people would have to take. There's a lot more to it. And you know what? I am sure we could probably get a full dissertation on lie detector tests and lie detection and how the NSA and CIA uses it from Agent 0010. We could probably ask him that question. But it's a lot different from you going to your lawyer's office or you going into a police station and sitting down and taking a lie detector. It's not the same thing. But those are the types of things that are not allowed in court. Well, she passed the lie detector test, so nobody else was. How do we know she passed it? For one, do we know anything about this woman? No, we don't. As far as I know, she's still anonymous. Look, I'm not trying. Now, some people are saying, Rod, are you trying to, you know, dismiss this woman's accusations? Well, let me be blunt, even a little bit politically incorrect. Yes. This is something that took place 35 years ago. And in 35 years, you've never mentioned it, not even anonymously. I can't find, you know, I went and looked. No, I didn't do an exhaustive search, but I went and looked. I couldn't find any accusation like this from anybody until now about Brett Kavanaugh. So that makes me wonder, what is the deal? Not to mention, Dianne Feinstein had this so-called letter. Well, why the hell it was sent to her, I don't know. Makes me think that maybe the woman lives out in California now. Well, sent to Dianne back in June. And now she's going to drop this because it's a tactic of delay. They're trying to get his confirmation hearing delayed. Anybody remember what happened to Clarence Thomas? You know, and Anita Hill didn't even want to come forward, and they sort of forced her to. Notice after she testified, and, you know, everybody hated on her, she tried to disappear again. She didn't want to have anything to, but the problem was with Anita Hill, man. She kept following Clarence Thomas. Every time Clarence Thomas got an appointment or a promotion, there was Anita Hill. So for somebody who was sexually harassing her at work, why the hell was she following him? Now, we also know what happens a lot with teenagers, both genders. When they don't get what they want or what they think their friends is going to think is cool, what do? They make it up. Especially boys. Hey, and she's hot, man. Did you get any of that last night? Yeah, I got some. And they barely even kissed was the reality. But yeah, I got some. And this is how some girls get that awful reputation of being a slut. Oh, yeah, she's easy. And they come to find out, you know, the girl is actually still a virgin. But it's going around the school. Oh, she's easy. She's a slut. She'll drop her pants and do it anytime. Because boys talk a good game. Now, girls, on the other hand, if they want a guy and they get spurned, you know, they can be mean. They can come out with all kinds of spurs. Oh, he's gay. I remember before gay was cool. It was still not okay to be gay. I remember a cheerleader. He was fairly new to the school. Yeah, he was a good-looking guy, but he was not athletic. And he was just your average kid. He just went to school, went home, but you know, didn't participate in sports. No, he was not in the chess or math club. He was an average student, but he was a good-looking guy. He was new, and the cheerleader. The cheerleader that wanted to date him, and he had no interest in her whatsoever, probably because she was a bitch to begin with, but okay. And he picked up on that. But he turned her down one too many times. Must have said something that wasn't too pleasant to her, because next thing I know, rumors were flying around that he was gay. We know who started the rumor. We know. In fact, it got so bad that he had to have a meeting with his parents and his guidance counselor. Now most of the school finally realized that he wasn't. But do you know the hell that for about a month, the hell that he had to go through? It was absolutely ridiculous. So we know that boys and girls in high school, in order to make themselves look good and look cool and keep up their, you know, their rep with their friends and the rest of the school, they'll make shit up. Now, I don't know what her reason would be to make that up with Kavanaugh. And I'm not even saying that it didn't happen. Maybe he did get a little frisky and then she decided that that's not what she wanted. I really highly doubt it would happen in a classroom during school hours. But okay. Well, he closed the door behind. You know, back in, 35 years ago, I don't remember a lot of school doors that you could lock without a key. In other words, there wasn't a knob that you turned from the inside to lock. You had to have a key. Now, today's, it's different with the shooter stuff, you know. School shootings might be a different story. But that in my high school, there were locks on the doors, but there were no knobs. A student couldn't lock the door. You had to have a key on both sides. And that was considered for safety reasons. So somebody couldn't lock the door from the inside and do, you know, nefarious things in the classroom or what have you. Made sense. Well, you couldn't lock the door unless you had the key. So I'm going to assume that 35 years ago, this is probably still pretty similar. They probably went to a school where you could not lock the door without a key. So the hope, he locked the door behind me. I'm not sure I'm buying that. Simply because, I know a lot of younger people may not know that. But I'm telling you, I experienced it. You could not lock a door in my high school or my elementary or middle school, there were no locking knobs. They were all locked with keys. Yeah, teachers had the keys to their rooms. You know, janitors had the keys. Principal had keys. Everybody had a key. Students didn't have a key. Oh, no, maybe he grabbed the teacher's key. But that would be a little bit more difficult. But in any case, this whole notion that he actually did this is absolutely, I don't know. But in any case, this whole notion that all of a sudden, 35 years later, when he's going to go on the Supreme Court, not when he's working his way up the judicial ladder, not when he's becoming a prominent attorney, at no time in his 35-year adult history has this woman popped up. Now all of a sudden she pops up, and she not only does she do that, but it happens back in June because most people think, oh, she just did this. No, she did. Diane, if anything, if this is a true case, if this is real, if any part of her story is absolutely true, why are we not focusing on Diane Feinstein? She held this information up. Now she wants the FBI to do a full investigation when she had this letter back in June. Folks, this is why this stuff is not true. Because it's all being dropped at a time in order to serve a political purpose. Now, if you listen to any of the, I know it's kind of hard to pick this up when you're listening to them, but just watch them. All you get, especially Chuck Schumer. You know, you can tell when Chuck Schumer does care about something and he has feeling behind it. You can tell when he means something. Now, when he's talking about Brett Kavanaugh, well, we should delay the proceedings and the confirmation hearing. It's all politics. He doesn't give a. He knows this stuff is probably not true, and he doesn't even give a damn about getting to the truth. He doesn't care. All he cares about is politics, and the politics is Democrats, for whatever reason, we don't want Trump to have another pick, and we don't want want this guy to be his, you know, on the court. Because, hey, this guy's going to follow the Constitution. We can't have that. He doesn't care about the accusations. He doesn't care at all. But in any case, none of this stuff, all this stuff comes out so damn late into the process. It would be one thing if truly Diane Feinstein, somebody handed, you know, delivered this letter to Diane Feinstein or any other Congress member or Senate member, if they truly did it 2 weeks ago. Again, I'd be asking, well, first of all, why did you wait so damn long? 35 years of silence, and now you want to come out? It doesn't make any sense. In any case, so Kavanaugh's accuser, I guess, is speaking out now more because, remember, she didn't want she wanted to stay behind the scenes. She didn't want to come out into the open. She wanted to remain in. That was the first red flag. Somebody wants to accuse somebody of this stature of something this serious. Especially with this all this Me Too stuff. And this is what it's all about, because let's face it, folks. It is 90-10. 90% of the people who are being caught up in this Me Too stuff are a bunch of Democrats. And roughly 10%, if that, are non-Democrats. I have to say non because they could be, you know, apolitical, non-political. They could be Republican. The entire gamut, non-Democrat, at most is 10%. are being accused. The vast majority of them, and that are going down, are and they're big mouth Democrats, big supporting Democrats. Harvey Weinstein was a, well, he wasn't the first to be accused, but he was the biggest fish. And then we get, then what do we get? We get Asia Argento. Actually, well, I wouldn't even say that that's rape. It was it's statutory rape, yeah, but it's pedophilia. He was a kid. So now not only do we have misogynist, rapist on the Democrat side, now we have pedophilia. Well, there are a bunch of people that understand that and believe that there's a whole pedophilia ring going on the Democrat side. The whole Pizzagate thing. The only problem with Pizzagate is the location was wrong. You know, I've had a lot of people telling me, "Oh no, Rod, you don't understand. In D.C., the Pizzagate thing was dead on, except for the location." I'm thinking, how do you know this? Well, evidently, it's a pretty open secret in D.C. And I gotta tell you, I've been doing a lot over the past couple of months, a lot of research into child trafficking, and the stuff that I've uncovered so far, I'm nowhere near. I thought it would be just a quick, a quick article that I could research and put together. Folks, this could turn into a book. And the things that I've been finding out, it's all out there already. This is what blows me away. It takes some digging to find it, and you have to follow the trail, all the crumbs, sometimes you have to go back a few years, but you follow the trail. The number of people that are either suspected or have been lightly accused of this kind of stuff would blow your mind. And I'm not just talking about politicians. I'm talking politicians. I'm talking, Hollywood. And everybody thinks, oh, yeah, Hollywood's, everybody knows Hollywood. No, you don't know the extent. I mean, Corey Feldman, Corey Haim, that's just the tip of the eye. Look, when Elijah Wood said, yeah, he knew about that kind of stuff, and his parents obviously did too, because they never let him out of their sight. When you have so many other parents that, they want their kid to be a big, big star so they can live, off their kid's movie credits. And they let their kids go to parties without them. They let their kids be around all these adults without them. Elijah Wood said, no, my parents didn't let me out of their sight. Because his parents knew it was going to. And let's face it, Elijah Wood was a cute kid. He was perfect fodder for these evil creatures. So what I, and I'll be bringing this, before the end of this year, I'm going to bust this wide open, folks. So, stay tuned, because this stuff is just, and the old rabbit hole? Yeah, I made the mistake of going down the rabbit hole. Now I'm in deep. And it's frightening. It's disconcerting. And what people will do with this whole sex thing, it's absolutely evil. It's evil incarnate. And the problem is that people are now using these types of accusations as political weapons. Political weapons. That's all this thing is with Brett Kavanaugh. Well, it's a serious accusation. No, it's actually not a serious accusation, because when you start taking the accusation apart, like you got to take every accusation apart in order to figure out if it's real and true. There are all kinds of question marks. Oh, he closed and locked the door. In my experience back in the day, 35 years ago, school buildings, you could not lock the door without a key. So did he have a key? That's a very important aspect of your memory. How did he lock the door? He pulled out a key and locked the door. That's different from, oh, he shut the door. And now they want to, as I said that they would, now they're calling for a delay or a postponement in his confirmation hearing. Don't. This is all political.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table.